Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled The Liberation Theology of the Biblical Documents. And I want to say at the beginning of the show that in order to understand what God has done for us through the person of Christ, one must have a knowledge of the Word of God, because liberation theology or the liberation theology of the biblical documents has to do the love of God for all mankind. We read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die or perish, but have eternal life. This is God's message to all mankind. There is no political agenda. There is no religious agenda. It is the love of God for humanity. God sees, God knows what the human condition is. This is the purpose of the Incarnation. This is the purpose of the Incarnation of the Theanthropos, of the Jesus. I'm going to be reading to you from Isaiah 50. And in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5 reads as follows, quote, "The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back," verse 6, "I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." Now this is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 5 and 6. These are prophecies related to the messianic personage of Jesus. And so therefore, what Isaiah has written is a very powerful, are very powerful words for us to deeply consider. Now, notice what he says. Verse 6, "I offered my back to those who beat me with the cat of nine tails that was used by Roman soldiers in order to traumatize prisoners. And we're talking about an instrument that had bits of metal and bone within it. And so this cat of nine tails was a very severe and very deadly instrument. And so notice the language. "I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard." Now we read in the gospel documents, Jesus was buffeted about by the Roman soldiers in his passion. So the language is in the imperfect tense. They kept on smiting him. They kept on hitting him. And Isaiah adds this detail. "I gave my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard." He goes on, "I did not hide my face from mocking and bidding. Verse 7, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. For at the beginning of verse 8, he who vindicates me is near. Who then shall bring charges against me? Well, charges were brought against him, as you all know, false witnesses. And we read that Pilate knew that the religious leaders had turned Jesus over to him out of envy, the sin of envy. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me, unquote. And so we have this very poignant picture presented to us by Isaiah. And Isaiah makes the argument for us that it is through the passion, through the suffering of Jesus, that you and I have liberation. He goes on. Isaiah presents more details for us about what the Son of God endured for you and I. And so he goes on to say, and this is, now we're in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, Isaiah beginning at Isaiah 52, 13, quote, see, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond, and I just read Isaiah chapter 50, verses 13 and 14, because I want you to go to the scripture and read for yourselves these very important verses. Now, we read in verse 14 that his appearance was so disfigured. Shamim in Hebrew is to be desolate or waste. Beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness or human recognition. The portrait that Isaiah paints of Jesus very different from what you and I have been taught to believe, or through cartoons or through paintings, as to what his appearance was like on that cross. When he got to the cross, his arms were outstretched, and the nails that were used had a 5/8 inch diameter, and they were 5 to 7 inches long. And the Bible does not tell us that these nails were driven through his wrists. The Bible tells us very specifically that the nails were driven through his hand, or through his hands. The print of the nails were in his hands, not his wrists. Jesus was hung upon the cross, and there are those who believe that the persons who were hung upon crosses died of asphyxiation. They believe that the carbon monoxide, the buildup in the lungs, and the person suffered. Earlier crosses had little seats, but then those were later removed. And the Roman soldiers also used an instrument called a crucifragium. They would go by and they would break the legs of the crucified individuals in order to hasten to further the trauma and to bring on death. Now, they never did this to Jesus. spear was pressed into his side and to his left side, and we read, out came forth blood and water, which tells us that the pericardium, or the sac around the heart, was punctured by the spear. So we know that he really died. He did not merely swoon on the cross, and he was to be later revived through the coolness of the tomb. That was one theory. Jesus actually died for us. He actually gave his life for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. This is the essence of the liberation theology of the Word of God. It is God's love for persons. No matter where we have come from, no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, this is the love of God for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus died. We have the very descriptive nature of the very descriptive words of Isaiah. We have John 3:16. And we know historically, and we know from archaeological evidence, what crucifixion was like. I've left out a lot of details that I don't want to discuss. But Isaiah 53 reads, verse 5, Isaiah 53:5 reads, quote, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crucified for our iniquities or evil deeds. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Unquote. God loves you. God loves you, and God loves me. If you have been told by someone that you are worth less, that is not what God believes or thinks about you. God loves you. And God wants you to know that he loves you. God wants you to know that you are accepted by him. You and I have been accepted by God. Read Ephesians chapter 1. When an individual is born again or regenerated, the scripture tells us that he or she is Christ. This is our new position. This is our new reality in Christ. So, you are loved. The word for love, Greek to the agape, it means God's self-sacrificial love. Liberation theology that God is built upon God's self-sacrificial love. God wants mankind to know. God wants you to know that you are greatly valued and greatly loved, as evidence to the sacrifice of his Son. We read in the book of Acts that God purchased the church to his Son. Please read your testament. Read thoroughly and carefully. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.